to my father and say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. That is a story of reconciliation, of a father and a son separated and brought back together. This year I went to Nova Scotia on my holiday, and I went to Halifax, and we were looking through the Immigration Museum, enjoying looking around. Suddenly dawned on me that probably many years ago, 53 or something like that, my mum would have arrived in Halifax on a boat. And so I went downstairs and I started to talk to somebody, and they printed up for me this, which is the passenger list of a ship that sailed into Halifax, and it had her name on the bottom of it, Patricia Edwards from Battersea, London. And it was amazing. It was a bit of my history, which I really appreciated getting hold of. And you see, when my mum came to Canada, she came with all these great thoughts of this marriage. She was going to be marrying a guy she'd met. It was a guy who'd come over on a ship, part of the Royal Canadian Navy. And so she lived in Halifax. My brother was born there. Then she moved to Toronto with my dad. And I was born. And sadly, things didn't go very well in their marriage. And so she ended up one day picking us two boys up and heading for England and leaving my dad. And he really didn't know what had happened to her. And, you know, it's a sad end to a story that was supposed to have such potential. But for me, it's a great story now, because there was a reconciliation between myself and my father. It happened by one day I woke up, went to work as normal day. And I came home at lunchtime and my wife handed me an envelope. And normally that means it's going to be a very big bill that she wants me to open. And I was a little bit panicky as quite what this envelope contained. But when I opened it up, it said, Dear son. And it was a letter from my dad. I want you to know, I didn't even know my dad existed. I'd grown up in as a kid, really not having a dad around. I used to envy my friends whose dads took them to soccer and things to see Arsenal play. And for me, dad didn't exist. As a matter of fact, when I was at school, people would say to me, I bet my dad could beat your dad up. And I say, your dad couldn't even find my dad, because my dad just didn't exist. But there came a day where Rachel woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and she said, can I find your dad? And apparently I said yes, because I'm very vulnerable at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so she uses that for anything she wants to buy these days. She'll wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But what happened was, she had found my dad. She'd found all the information. She'd contacted Canada. There'd been a search out by the Salvation Army. And there came a day where I was going to be reconciled to my father. I'd not even used the word dad. I practiced saying dad in the mirror, because it was such a word I'd never used. Even though I was married, I never called Rachel's dad dad. I called him Leonard. Or I just didn't find the word dad very comfortable with me. But you know, there came a day where I flew to Pearson Airport and the doors opened. And I looked around and didn't know what a dad looked like. So I looked around for someone as handsome as me but older. And as I was scanning the crowd, this man bust through the crowd and he threw his arms around me. And it might have been 2 minutes and it might have been 5 minutes, but it felt like forever as my dad and I stood there hugging one another. I remember my dad, last time my dad had seen me, I was 1 and a half. And his first line to me was, you've grown. And I said to him, not a lot, actually, because I'm not that tall. But you see, this whole issue that we're reading in this story of a son and a father coming back together, it's a story of reconciliation. And reconciliation is one of the most fantastic words in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Paul uses it to explain what it is to be a Christian. Paul says this, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all this is from God who reconciled the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And now the word reconciliation, you see, if you put the word reconciliation, it makes a great end to a story. Maybe reuniting a couple who've been estranged, maybe to do with some hostility between a child and his parents. Or maybe for me, like a son with his dad. Reconciliation is incredibly good news. Reconciliation is a joy-filled word when you understand it to its full. When you've experienced it like I have in meeting my dad and embracing my dad and getting to know my dad. And reconciled is the word that Paul uses all the time to describe our relationship with God. It says this in Romans chapter 5 verse 10. It says this, for if we were once enemies, we are now reconciled to God through the death of his son. Being reconciled doesn't mean to say we just say, you know what, forget about it. It's no big deal. Let's just bury it. Let's just forget the past. If we're going to reconcile, there needs to come that time where we speak to one another and there's some reconciliation that goes on between the two of us. When I came to Canada, the first thing impression I had is that every Canadian home had a bar in the basement. Because every time I went to a Canadian home, it seemed to have a bar. And I went down to my dad's bar and we sat at the bar and he was chatting to me and my dad just poured his heart out to me saying, I'm so sorry for how things turned out. And, you know, it was all my fault and I should have been a better husband and I should have been a better dad. Now he has a whole family now and he's done a fantastic job with his family. But he just wanted to be reconciled and he wanted me to know quite how sad he was. Just like the son in this story coming back saying, Dad, I made a real mistake. I blew it. I blew all the money. I blew our relationship and I want to come back and be a servant. But you know, when we come back to God, God doesn't want us to be a servant. He wants to be his children. You know, for this guy, he was happy to sleep in the barn. He was happy just for that. That's good enough, you know. I'll be back in Dad's. At least his servants get fed. I won't be eating pig swill. But you know, his dad, when he sees him, he runs to him and he embraces him and he kisses him and he puts a ring on his finger to say he belongs and he puts sandals on his feet and he kills the fatted calf. Do you know why he kills the fatted calf? Because reconciliation is something to celebrate. Reconciliation deserves a party. When my dad first flew over to England to meet all my friends, we had a party in our house. It was a great party. We celebrated a reunion of my dad and myself. And I introduced him to all my friends. It was a great party. And when I came over to Canada for the first time, my dad had got together relatives. I don't think he'd seen some of the relatives for a long time himself. And we all gathered together. There was a celebration. Why is there a celebration in this story of the prodigal son? Do you know why? Because reconciliation brings joy. Reconciliation brings joy in the heart. It brings things that were once estranged and apart back together again. It settles the problem that was going on between the two people and it brings peace. That's what reconciliation does. And God tells us this, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death and presents you holy. You know, when I look at the word reconciliation, there are lots of words in the Bible that sum up the Christian life. Let me give you a few of them because I think these are great. First one is justification. I didn't know that word before I became a Christian. Justification, which shows a sinner standing before a holy God and is declared righteous. A sinner standing before God and yet God says, as the judge, you are righteous. You can go. Or the word redemption, where a sinner stands before God as a slave and God grants them freedom and says, no, you can go freely. I love that word, redemption. Or the word forgiven, which where a sinner stands before God as someone who has a debt to pay and yet the debt has been paid and forgotten. That's what Jesus did for us. He paid our debt and our sins are forgotten. Or the words sonship or adoption, they express what it is to be a Christian, where a sinner stands before God as a stranger and is made into a loved son or a daughter of God. But we're concentrating on one word. As much as I love all those words and the position that they show us that we have in Christ, I love the word reconciliation, which is where a sinner stands before God as an enemy and through Christ's love and sacrifice is led to peace with God and friendship with God. Let me just take you through those again, finishing with reconciliation, just because I think it's a word worth knowing. We stood before God accused. We were declared righteous. That's God's love. Just like the son standing before the father. He just knows he blew it. You know, he said to his dad before he went, "Dad, I wish you were dead, but I'm not. Give me the money now. Give me the inheritance now." And then he went away and blew everything, his inheritance. We stood before God accused, just like that son stood before the father, but we were declared righteous. You know, the father says, "Don't worry about that. You're alive. My son has returned. We're back together." We stood before God as a slave and he granted us freedom. We stood before God as a debtor and he paid for our debt and forgave our debt. We stood before God as an enemy and he made us a friend. We stood before God as a stranger and yet he calls us his friends. Why? Because we've been reconciled to God. If you know me for more than 10 minutes, or if you're sitting on a train with me going to Toronto and you look bored, I have a tendency to tell you the story of how I met my dad. Because it's such an amazing story, I can't help telling people about it. When you know the love of God in your life, and you know that God has forgiven you in Christ, and he has drawn you back to himself and reconciled you to him as a father, it is a great story to tell. You know, people sing a song. I'm not old enough to have sung this in a church, but there's a song that goes, "Tell me the old, old story." And so I'm sure for my family at times, they hang around me and I start to tell the story of meeting my dad. And they go, "Oh, here we go again." Because it's such a wonderful story of reconciliation. But let me finish with this. We are reconciled to God through Jesus. Jesus did everything that was necessary for us to have a relationship with God. It's not one day I got out of bed and got religious. I didn't, actually. I went to a rock concert one day, which my friend took me to, and it was a church service. He lied to me. And when I was there, I heard the good news about Jesus, that if we put our faith in Jesus, he makes us right with the Father. Now, me knowing my dad in Canada would never have happened except for my wife. My wife found my dad, contacted my dad. She arranged for my job to be covered so that I could go and fly and meet my dad. She arranged for our kids to be looked after so we could come and be reconciled. She arranged everything. She bought the ticket. She did everything. And all I did was trust in what Rachel did for me. Being a Christian is nothing to do with how good I am. Being a Christian is nothing to do with how much I've done for God. I've done nothing for God. But Jesus came and he took my place on the cross and he made me right with God as I trust in him. And so I'm reconciled to God. I'm reconciled to my dad through Rachel. And I'm reconciled to God through Jesus. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said this. He said, "Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" People say, "Wow, it must have been such agony," saying, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" No, the biggest pain on the cross wasn't the nails for Jesus. It was this, that one day, the Father couldn't look at the Son. He couldn't look at the Son. Do you know why? He couldn't look at the Son because he had my sin upon him. He couldn't look at the Son because he had your sin upon him. And God can't look at sin. And so he turned his face away from Jesus on the cross. And the reason he turned his face away from Jesus on the cross is so that Jesus could die for our sin and he could turn his face towards us in our lives every day. God didn't look on Jesus. He turned his face away from Jesus on the cross with our sin. But he turned his face then towards us. Why? Because we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. This will be a joy-filled day. I've got to be honest with you. Of all the houses I've ever been to, Mark's is probably the nicest house I've ever been to. I love this place. I'd love to own it, but I never will because I'm a pastor. But the joy of being here today, you know, that just the joy of just enjoying something. I want you to know that doesn't even equate with the joy of being reconciled to God, to being reconciled, to knowing that joy of being God's, of him being yours, of him being your father, of you being his friend, of your accusation of sin being pushed away, of his love being towards you, of him choosing to forget your sin, of him choosing to lay it aside and say, you know what? You can come and say, but I did this and I did this, but Father, I sinned against you and I did this, just like the Son. But actually, you know what the Father does? Puts his arms around you and he says, it's all paid for. It's paid for in Jesus. Lionel Richie, anybody heard of Lionel Richie? Lionel Richie became very famous, became very rich, just like his name. And one day he went to see his dad and he took a present to his dad and he gave his dad this present. And his dad opened the present and inside was another present. He went, oh no. So he opened up the present thinking it'd be really good and there was another present. And then he opened up the present and it went down and down and down until there was about 8 presents and he got to this really small present. And he opened it up and inside was one small piece of paper. And he opened it up and he read it and it said, all debts are paid. And so he looked at his son and said, all debts are paid. And then he looked at it for a bit and he said, yeah, Dad, all debts are paid. He said, what, you mean you've paid my mortgage? And he said, Dad, all debts are paid. He says, what, look, you paid off for my car? He said, yep, all debts are paid. What about my overdraft? Listen, Dad, all debts are paid. What about that loan? Listen, Dad, all the debts have been paid. And Lionel Richie's dad threw his arms around him. And he stood there and he said, thank you so much, son. Thank you so much. Listen, when it comes to the Christian life, when we trust in Jesus, all debts are paid. We may try and drag up all sorts of things from the future, but from the past, but I want to tell you, our future is secure because all debts are paid. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you know that joy today, but you know, what we were singing about this morning was about being reconciled to God, being rejoined to him. I spent a lot of my life, early life, running away from God, not really being interested in God, certainly not interested in Christians. And there came a day where God reconciled me to him. I didn't have a dad growing up, but you know, I found a father in heaven who loves me and is for me. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to thank you today for the amazing news in the Bible that we can be reconciled to you. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter how we've blown it. Doesn't matter if we've offended you. Doesn't matter if we've gone our own way. We thank you, Father, that you reconciled us. Thank you. It was at your initiative that you sent Jesus. Lord, thank you that the verse we know the most is, for God so loved the world, he did something. He sent his one and only Son. Lord, there's nothing in us that deserves your love, but thank you, you give it to us because you've paid our every debt in Jesus. Thank you, all the debts are paid. Thank you, all the past is forgiven, as we trust in Jesus on the cross. And so, Father, I pray today, Lord, help us to see the joy of reconciliation. Help us to enter into it and live in the good of it. And Father, I want to pray as well for any here who are not reconciled to you. Lord, that they won't think they've got to shape their lives up, become better, look more holy. Lord, what they need to do is trust in the one that you sent, Jesus. And just like Rachel, as I trusted in her, and came and met my dad, as we trust in Jesus, Jesus brings us to the Father and forgives our past and reunites us. God, may we know the joy of sins forgiven and reuniting to our Father in heaven. And I pray this for every person here in Jesus' name. Amen.